Greetings, greetings, my dear sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is emanating from thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Saturday, May the 6th, 2011. This is a day before Mother's Day. And on this program, the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. We endeavor to climb out of the mind of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, the wicked 1%, 2% ruling class and ruling families. We endeavor to climb out of the mind of those politicians, heads of state, heads of institutions that do the bidding of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. We want to climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Yahweh, the mind of Allah, the mind of Ilah, the mind of Yahshua Christus. As we do so, we will be able then to organize and come together for freedom, justice, and equality. The kingdom of God, where? Right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to work and ally ourselves with any political, religious, and revolutionary institution and organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister, Venice, is the producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, and coordinator of this website, and helping me to facilitate this program, the Mind of God program. And you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. And as we always do, we're gonna pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator and Creatress. Praises are due unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the Father is known affectionately as Abba. In the African Arabic language, the name of the Father is Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. Also, we give praises to our wonderful and beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit. And this is the day before Mother's Day. And as we thank our earthly mothers, let us also give praises to our spiritual Mother, Holy Spirit. The Almighty Creatress. She, Mother Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokmah. In the Living Bible, and that word chokmah for wisdom in the African Hebrew language is a feminine word referring to and denoting a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful, wonderful Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. It is only the feminine that conceives, not the masculine. The masculine begets and the feminine conceives. Mother Holy Spirit is our mother. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well. In the African Hebrew language, The name and title of our Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. And Kadosh is the African Hebrew word for a holy entity that is a living holy entity. And the word Ruach, found under the number 7307, on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, Ruach is the word for spirit in the African Hebrew language. It is a feminine word referring to and denoting a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of our mother, Holy Spirit, is Illa. That word Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H, is an African Hebrew word and also an African Arabic word, and that word is feminine. And our wonderful and beautiful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu illa illa ha'il Allah. And in that phrase, you hear Illa, which is the mother, and you hear Allah, that's the father. Now, it is traditionally translated as there is no God but God. But we know that that means there is none but our mother and our father, because without our almighty mother and almighty father, there is no universe and no creation. And that word creation has the meaning of birth, giving birth to, because mother and father, Illa and Allah, have come together to give birth to the whole of the universe, creation, and the human family out of the spirit of love. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet. And that means the hidden and unseen mother. In the Native American tradition, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the great and the grand mother. So now, I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, the Uhuru family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of his Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I of Ethiopia, Rastafari, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah, Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. Now, the United States of North American Empire is modern day Babylon that is given to you from Genesis to Revelation under different symbologies. But that mystery Babylon in Revelation is the modern day United States of North America Empire. It is no longer a mystery. And you, black man and woman, are that Hebrew people from Genesis to Revelation. And you are able to see how you are affected, and we are affected by mystery Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your, my, our personalities, thereby making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days you would see Christ come again. You would see Yahshua, Jesus, Messiah, Christ come again, manifesting in the personality of revolutionaries, manifesting in the personalities of the African Hebrew people, which is you, black man and woman, and we manifesting Christ would wake up Christ within the whole of the human family, especially the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, no matter the color, race, ethnicity, religion, creed, gender, national origin. Because the I and I, in Haile I, Selassie I, is you and me. We are the I and I. Rasta don't say you and me. Rasta say I and I. Because all of us are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine creation, this divine universe, this divine plane that we call the physical plane, in this divine physical realm, on this divine planet that we call Earth. All of us are divine manifestations, and we give praises unto the Most High for such understanding. Now, sisters and brothers, so much happening. We are in the book of Revelation, and we are yet teaching from the book of Revelation. And we are yet understanding the book of Revelation, the word revelation coming from the Greek apokalyptos, which gives us our English apocalypse, which along with the word revelation means to uncover, to unveil, to remove the cover of falsehood and reveal the truth of the inner workings of this wicked, no good, rotten system, so that we, as the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed may come together to understand how to break the power of this wicked Babylon system. Sisters and brothers, current affairs, current issues. Over the past week, the previous weekend of May the 1st and the last day of April, maybe it may have been April the 30th, you had the wedding in Britain on that weekend. Then you had Saturday night, what has been reported as the assassination of the son and grandchildren, three grandchildren of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, by NATO, by AFRICOM, by Britain, by the United States of North America. You had that go down in Libya through the Obama administration. And then you had what has been reported as the assassination of Osama bin Laden. Now, I have a series of notes that I'm just going to read from randomly to give you certain thoughts that came to my mind, sisters and brothers. Now, they reported Sunday night this assassination of Osama bin Laden. And we saw on TV after this report of the assassination of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, Abbottabad, I believe is how you pronounce it. Abbottabad in Pakistan. Supposedly Osama bin Laden was living in this nice villa, nice area, and not a mansion, but like a military compound, right? With two or three of his wives, a couple of his sons, and so on. So Sunday night, Barack Obama goes before the world and reports that Osama bin Laden has been killed. America has killed Osama bin Laden. Not long after that, we heard of celebrations in the streets, sisters and brothers, celebrations outside of the White House, people dancing and celebrating death, people singing God Bless America, the Star Spangled Banner. I even heard that some people were actually singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that church song, that gospel song, that spiritual song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Singing that type of song in a celebratory fashion of the death, reportedly, of a human being. We even saw on the news, I think it was a basketball game, I think. And in the middle of the basketball game, after it was announced that Osama bin Laden was assassinated, supposedly, and I keep saying supposedly, people, the crowd, the audience, the ticket buyers, the fans began to cheer and clap and high-five each other over the death of a human being. What What wickedness, what preposterity to celebrate the death of a human being. People who call themselves Christian, a lot of them, celebrating the death of a human being. People who say that they uphold the moral tenets of America. America's supposed to be a nation that loves justice and peace and freedom and equality and whatnot. Celebrating the death of a human being. Such preposterousness to celebrate death. Now, go to kpfa.org, Flashpoints. Go to Hard Knock Radio of this week. The second, the third, the fourth, all this week on Flashpoints, KPFA, Hard Knock Radio. And listen to people give what should really be the mentality, that you don't celebrate death. Sisters like Rosa Clemente, brothers like Reverend Jeremiah Wright, brothers like Dennis Bernstein, saying that one should not celebrate death. That is not becoming. That is not righteous. Now, some random thoughts. One of the brothers that was interviewed, by brother I don't necessarily mean black, I mean a man, a male, interviewed on Flashpoints, said that this is in reality celebrating Dr. Frankenstein. Recall Dr. Frankenstein. Recall that Dr. Frankenstein created a monster. And recall that Dr. Frankenstein caused the people to be afraid of the monster, forgetting that the monster was created by Dr. Frankenstein. And forgetting that whatever the monster did what the monster did because Dr. Frankenstein programmed the monster to do what the monster did in obedience to Dr. Frankenstein. And when the monster ceased doing what Dr. Frankenstein wanted the monster to do, when the monster became afraid of Dr. Frankenstein and began to do other than what Dr. Frankenstein wanted the monster to do, then Dr. Frankenstein then goes about to exterminate the monster that Dr. Frankenstein created. Now, what are we getting at? Osama bin Laden is a creation of the CIA and was a CIA asset. That being the case, the monster is not even the CIA. The monster is not even the government of the United States of North America. The monster is the ruling class and ruling families of the United States of North America, Europe, and Israel. The true monster is the synagogue of Satan, the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers. Recall in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, Jesus warns us of the synagogue of Satan. That is the monster. And so, that is Dr. Frankenstein. So Dr. Frankenstein, the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the synagogue of Satan have decided now, whether real or imagined, that it must be reported that the monster bin Laden is dead. And so we are rejoicing over the real or fictitious reality of the death of the monster, forgetting that he is only, Osama, an asset of the CIA, a tool of the ruling class, ruling families, a tool of the synagogue of Satan, a tool of the house of Rothschild, the ruling class, ruling families, the Oppenheimers. Whatever bin Laden did or did not do, he was only a tool. And so we're rejoicing over the quote-unquote extermination of a tool when the Dr. Frankenstein is yet in rulership, controlling events, pushing our buttons. What was this? And let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program, and today's recording date is Saturday, May the 7th, 2011, the day before Mother's Day. What was this whole operation? This so-called death of Osama bin Laden. And we have to ask the question, was which Osama bin Laden? Because there were five Osama bin Ladens. At least five. Because the CIA creates an enemy for you, gives you an enemy so that we may focus on that so-called enemy that was created by the CIA so that we may be maneuvered into supporting wicked plans of destruction for the oppressed that have already been made. So this so-called Osama, which one was it? Was he the fat one, the skinny one? Was he the one with the big nose, the skinny nose? Which one was he? Now, recall that the FBI never did officially pin the 911 on Osama bin Laden because there was no evidence of such. So what was this quote unquote death of Osama bin Laden? And to have us think that they cared so much about Islamic law, so-called shoot a man in the head. They said he was armed. Then they said he was unarmed. They have all manner of stories. They're trying to figure out which one is going to work best because this is what we would call a false flag operation. Then they so-called did him clean his body according to Islamic law, wrapped him up in a shroud according to Islamic law, and then put him in the water, put him in the ocean, put him in the sea, put him in the water, mafia style. But what was this whole operation? This whole operation was a false flag operation, sisters and brothers. What is a false flag operation? A false flag operation is a distraction. It is an event created by those in power and giving to the populace so that we may focus on this particular created event. Meanwhile, the real action is occurring somewhere else. When a flag goes up right in front of you, you focus on that flag and you forget about any circumstances surrounding your location, surrounding your time zone, and you focus on that flag. And after a long period of time, you are then able to refocus on whatever you were thinking about before. Now, this Osama bin Laden so-called death is a false flag operation. What was going on in the world inside of the United States of North America and outside of the United States of North America? What was going on? What was occurring was in reality the second coming of Jesus Christ manifesting in the masses of the oppressed people all over the earth, in that the uprisings and the revolts and revolutions breaking out all over the earth against wicked governments who were doing the bidding of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the ruling class and ruling families, revolts and uprising against wicked governments and wicked despots in power who were doing the bidding of the synagogue of Satan. That's what was occurring. Sisters and brothers outside of America, sisters and brothers inside of the United States of North America, rising up as with the mentality of justice. Now, at the same time that was occurring, we saw infiltration of uprisings by the CIA, by MI6, MI5 of Britain, by Mossad of Israel, by the intelligence communities of the United States of North America, Europe, and Israel. We saw infiltrations and spinning of revolutions, not for the benefit of the people, but for the benefit of those in power, so that they may continue to secure more land, wealth, and resources, and control the earth as well as the people. Inside of the United States of North America, you saw uprisings. You saw sisters and brothers inside of North America, even on May Day, May the 1st, you saw immigrants, so-called Latina immigrants coming together on May Day, with union workers, with non-union workers, with black, brown, red, yellow, and white sisters and brothers coming together to say, we don't agree with your immigration policy, United States of North America. We don't agree with the destruction of jobs inside of the United States of North America. Saying on May Day, you saw all of these sisters and brothers come together to say, we don't agree with the attack on Social Security. We don't agree with the attack on Medicare and Medicaid. We don't agree with destruction of sisters and brothers who are oppressed and need a way out of oppression. And no one was thinking about Osama bin Laden, because we knew that Osama bin Laden was not the problem. Osama bin Laden was not financing Democrat governors and Republican governors to destroy workers and destroy collective bargaining. That wasn't Osama bin Laden. The Koch brothers are financing Republican governors. And Soros is financing Democrat governors. So you see, right wing and left wing of the same wicked system financing both Democrat and Republican governors to destroy workers and destroy poor people. And you see House congressional people, the House of Congress, Republican and Democrat, and senators, Republican and Democrat, through the Obama administration, destroying the poor, destroying the oppressed. Obama says when he's running for president, he's against tax breaks for the wealthy. Then he gets into office and gives tax breaks to the wealthy. Then after he gives tax breaks to the wealthy, he then comes out during the time of his re-election campaign to say, oh, I'm against tax breaks for the wealthy. Look, we're wiser than that. Sisters and brothers inside of the United States of North America were coming up and rising up with the mind of Jesus, the mind of Christ, the mind of Yeshua. Jesus meaning justice and deliverance and liberty and health and wealth and all of that which has been taken from the oppressed. We were rising up, coming together, understanding who the real enemy was and is. And no one was thinking about Osama bin Laden. Now, all of a sudden, this Osama bin Laden thing comes up. They say they killed him. This is a false flag operation. This is presented to the people to distract us from the real enemy that all of us all over the earth were uniting against. It's like in the scriptures. You had Jesus among the people. You had Yahshua among the people. And the people were rising up with Jesus in their midst, with the mind of justice, the mind of liberty, the mind of deliverance, with the mind of overturning the scribes, the Pharisees, those petty bourgeoisie who were put in power by Rome and Caesar. And so the people, with Jesus in the midst, Jesus in the mind, began to rise up as revolutionaries to break the power of the petty bourgeoisie, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and to break the power of Caesar and Rome. You say, how? Through teaching the people to think independently of those in power. Through teaching the people to think like they should think of themselves as gods and goddesses on this divine planet we call Earth, children of the Most High God and the Most High Goddess. You know her as the Holy Spirit. So what happened? The people in power, the petty bourgeoisie, began to try to get the people to turn from Jesus, which in reality, metaphorically and symbolically, means to turn from the mentality of justice and freedom and equality and deliverance and liberty and the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. The scribes and the Pharisees, the petty bourgeoisie, began to turn the people away from that mentality. And when it was time to sacrifice someone, they said, you got to sacrifice Jesus and take Barabbas. So the sacrificing of Jesus means to sacrifice and kill justice and kill liberty and kill deliverance and kill revolution. That's what the petty bourgeoisie wanted. That's what Roman Caesar wanted, to kill justice, to kill liberty, to kill deliverance of the oppressed, and to give you Barabbas as a distraction. Sisters and brothers, that's what occurred. Osama bin Laden is our Barabbas today, given to us as a distraction in order to facilitate the killing of justice, the killing of Jesus in the people, the sacrificing of Jesus in the people, the assassination of Jesus in the people. And they give you Osama bin Laden as your modern day Barabbas to distract you from, and distract us, try, from the reality that Osama bin Laden didn't have anything to do with destruction of work, destruction of collective bargaining, destruction of working class and poor working class jobs and Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Osama bin Laden is a Barabbas distraction, a false flag operation. Sisters and brothers, we got to regroup and manifest Christ within our person again, and stand up for equal rights and justice again, and realize who the real enemy is again, and know that you don't have too much friendship in the White House. You don't have too much friends and friendship in the Obama administration. You don't have too much friend and friendship in the House of Congress and the Senate. You don't have too much friendship and friends in the seat of the governorships in the United States of North America. You don't have too much friends and friendship in your institutions. We're going to have to make friends and have friendship with and among each other, and stand up for equal rights and justice, and forget about this Osama bin Laden. This man has been dead since 2001. And I'm going to have a whole lot of links up for you to go and examine the evidence and the reality that the man has been long dead. This is nothing but a false flag operation. The Republicans and the Democrats are destroying the poor, the working class, destroying jobs, trying to destroy Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. This is nothing but a fictitious narrative to get us to go along with this fictitious narrative of 9-1-1, this fictitious war on terror. 9-1-1 was a inside job. Able Danger was a CIA operation to actually capture the so-called terrorists. But those low-level CIA agents who desired to capture the so-called terrorists were told to stand down by their superiors in the CIA. Why? Because this was a CIA operation that was intended to go through so that we may be frightened into supporting the destruction of our sisters and brothers, poor, afflicted, needy, and depressed all over the earth. We can no longer tolerate this, and we can no longer go for this. If this was Osama bin Laden, why not capture him? And why not put him on trial? And why not prove that he did what you said he did? They didn't want that, because I say it wasn't Osama anyway, and it wasn't their purpose to put him on trial and prove that he did what they said he did. The FBI did not even officially charge him with 9-1-1 because there's no evidence to pin 9-1-1 on Osama bin Laden. Do some research on the internet. And the Osama bin Laden gave an interview to either Al Jazeera or someone saying, hey, he didn't have anything to do with 9-1-1. Now, you say, why believe Osama? Well, you believe the government. The government lies all the time. Stokely Carmichael said if they tell the truth, it's because of a double lie. Don't believe anything the government says. Investigate it for yourself. And who are the real terrorists? The real terrorists is this United States of North America empire. The Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, all of this was a script. We know who the real enemy is, and we were in the streets organizing against the real enemy. Sisters and brothers, we got to get back to that. We have to take a breath, regroup, and understand who the real enemy is. Some of my sisters and brothers want to say, well, you know, Osama killed people. We are not for killing of anyone. But sisters and brothers, ask yourself, if he did do 911, and he did not, it was a CIA operation, but 3,000-4,000 people died. How many have the CIA killed since 1948? I think that's when they were created. How many have the FBI killed? How many have the Fraternal Order of the Police, who since, I believe, the 1970s, have killed 5,000 people, the majority of them black and brown people? How many have the colonialists of Britain, British Empire, France Empire, or French Empire, and the Empire of the United States of North America? How many have been killed by these? Herbert Walker Bush, in going into Panama, if I have it correct, with the assistance of Colin Powell during that time period, killed 3,000 or 4,000 Panamanian people to get Manuel Noriega. So those who say Osama deserves to be dead because he killed 3,000 to 4,000, what about the CIA? And I'm not calling for the death of anyone. I'm critiquing the criteria given to us by those who have been duped and fooled into the fictitious narrative and the wicked rhetoric of those in power. What about the FBI? What about the FOP? What about the government of the United States of North America? What about the presidents of the United States of North America, who you know have facilitated the killing of countless millions? A book named Killing Hope, written by William Bloom, United States military and CIA interventions since World War II. He calculates that 5 to 6 million have been killed by special ops and CIA of the United States of North America. So we're going to have to come to some realities. What was 911? It was an operation that caused George Bush's numbers to go up. Remember, when 2001, September 11th hit, Bush's numbers were low. People didn't like Bush. And so, here comes 911, Bush's numbers go up. Now, in this time, especially since Obama, Barack Obama, President of the United States of North America, in this time, began to bomb Africa, bomb Libya, his numbers went down. Even in the black community, his numbers went down to, I believe it was 34%. And people began to look at the Obama administration as an administration of capitulation, because they always compromise and capitulate to the Republicans, which is by design and designed by the synagogue of Satan, the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the wicked ruling class and ruling families, 1% and 2%, that are raping the human family and destroying the oppressed. And so we began to see that this man is capitulating and this man is compromising. And we began to see how he continued, Obama I'm speaking of now, to give tax breaks to the wealthy, began to see how he is helping to facilitate the destruction of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, poor people's programs. And so now, with his numbers tanking and continuing to go down and decline, here comes the so-called death of Osama bin Laden. This is what I called an inverted 911 for Barack Obama. He is running for president, and he is hoping that he can generate an upswing of numbers through this quote-unquote death and assassination of Osama Bin Laden. He is hoping personally that his numbers now will go up, his popularity will go up. He is hoping now personally that he can generate some credit and upswing in popularity. But I say, you can't kill Jesus Christ in the people. Jesus Christ can't dead no more. Him dead one time, can't dead no more. Christ is manifesting in the people. Christ is manifesting in the oppressed. And we are going to regroup. We are going to see this for what it is, as having nothing to do with reality. We are going to see that we need jobs. We need health care. We need education. The human family is going to see that we need to continue to fight and organize together for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. The false flag operation will not work. The ruling class and ruling families are desperate. And every time you see them act, they are acting out of desperation, because they know this is the time of the second coming of Messiah. This is the time of the second coming of Christ, and they know that Christ is manifesting in the people. We're taking our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.